Friends, we've just passed a very important and very intriguing annual event that occurs every January 1st, and no, I'm not talking about New Year's. I am talking about Public Domain Day in the United States, the day in which copyrights on significant works of art transitions into the public domain, and exclusive rights to those works are no longer valid. So what does that mean? I don't know, let's find out. Welcome back to Space Castle, it's your clubhouse for all things nerdy. My name is DT, and we are talking about Public Domain Day in the United States. Now, when this occurs, it means that anyone in the United States can use or reference these pieces of art that have transitioned into public domain without permission. It also means that access to that piece of intellectual property can find its way into more eyes and ears, thus spreading its influence and appeal. For example, the collected works of William Shakespeare were written before copyright laws were crafted, so it's almost always existed in the public domain. That's why we see so many straight-up adaptations of Shakespeare's work, and it's also why we see so many modern takes on it as well. For every Romeo and Juliet we've seen, there have also been such examples as 10 Things I Hate About You, which was based on Shakespeare's Taming of the Shrew, for example, and so forth. Shakespeare provided us with what are still to this day some of the best stories ever written, and infinite possibilities in reworking them to tell more unique stories with a classic foundation. And anyone who does so doesn't have to pay a cent in royalties to the original creator. Sorry to any supposed descendants of old William. You're not making any money. Sorry. As current laws in the United States are written, a work crafted after January 1st, 1978 has a copyright protection for the life of its author plus 70 years after their death. For a piece of work that doesn't have a specific author or is credited as like anonymous or something like that, the copyright tends to last for 95 years after publication or 120 years from its creation, two very different things. And it ends when whichever comes first, comes first. It's all kind of funky, and it gets even fucking weirder for works that were created before 1978. And adaptations get really weird too. So like, Winnie the Pooh, the 1926 novel by A.A. Milne, became public domain in 2022, but aspects and characters in the sequel books are not. So Winnie himself is public domain, but Tigger isn't, for example. And I know what you're thinking. I've been thinking this too. What about Disney? Well, certain aspects of the character's adaptation of the character are trademarked, and thus they own that visual version of the character, even if the character itself is in public domain. So you can make your Winnie the Pooh whatever. You can make your movies, your books, your video games, whatever. But the second you put a red t-shirt on him, Disney is coming for that ass. Oh, and this is fucked up too. Get ready for this. You know Mickey Mouse. So Mickey Mouse, in and of itself, is still protected by Disney's copyright laws, due no in small part to the fact that Disney uses him as part of their signature corporate logo. But Steamboat Willie, the very first animated appearance of Mickey Mouse, even though he's not technically called Mickey Mouse in it, will become public domain in the year 2024. So that visual representation of Mickey Mouse as he appears in that original animated short will become public domain. But Mickey Mouse as he exists today is protected by Disney by both trademark and copyright. So you might see all kinds of weird shit come out in 2024 when everybody and their brother are looking for loopholes and legally sound ways to exploit Steamboat Willie or to just fucking have some fun with it. I actually cannot wait to see what happens. It's going to be wild when it's everybody in the world versus Disney and in like a totally different way than when they released The Rise of Skywalker. All right, so there is a point to all this public domain talk, and it's this. On January 1st, 2023, one of my all-time favorite movies became public domain. The absolute masterpiece that is 1927's Metropolis, directed by Fritz Lang. If you're not familiar, and because the movie is now public domain, there's no excuse for you not to be. It's a very early science fiction film done in the style of German Expressionism, and is one of the most influential films of all time. I'm talking Star Wars, The Matrix, Blade Runner. All of these films would either not exist without Metropolis or would look and feel very, very different. The film, written by Fritz Lang and Thea von Harbo, deals with a society in which the wealthy class thrive and live luxurious lives in magnificent skyscrapers, while the working class beneath them toil away under terrible conditions to keep the city running. One of the wealthy class, Freider, who happens to be the son of the city's founder and leader, has a chance encounter with a woman from the lower levels. He follows her down, and he learns for the first time just at what cost his wonderful, carefree life is made possible. and he witnesses the explosion of one of the machines in the lower level and the death of many workers. And he comes to the realization that the workers are being fed like fuel into the societal machine that keeps the lower levels oppressed and the people up above living wonderful, irreverent lives. Freighter decides to rebel against the system, and what ensues is a wonderfully epic, at least for 1927, tale of class warfare, rejection of systems of oppression, and all with some great classic sci-fi fare thrown in as well. You may not have seen the movie yet, but you'll no doubt recognize the Machinimensch robot, one of the key figures in the movie. The design of the robot heavily influenced Ralph McQuarrie's concept art for C-3PO in Star Wars. The idea of a robot that can mimic human beings influenced replicants in Blade Runner, and the idea of rebelling against a system of control and a main character being prophesied as the one who can bring peace and understanding between the oppressed and those who run the system of oppression is, of course, directly tied to Neo in the Matrix franchise. It's an absolutely stunning film in its own right, even removed from the intriguing influences it had on what has come after it. I've always been a huge, huge fan of German Expressionism with its deep, rich shadows, its use of light to tell a story, the exaggerated and oftentimes surreal set dressings, and just the fucking delightfully creepy sense of tension created with each of them. Modern-day horror actually owes as much to early German Expressionism films as sci-fi does. A triple feature of, like, Dr. Caligari, Metropolis, and Nosferatu will leave you in awe of how much film has both changed over the decades and has stayed the same since its inception. There's been films like Citizen Kane and Seven Samurai which came along and redefined the language of film with new camera angles and stuff like that, but masters like Fritz Lang, Robert Wien, and F.W. Murnau set the foundation, and their influence will always be present in how movies are made. All this to say that if you haven't seen Metropolis, now is as good a time as any to track it down and watch it, possibly for free now. You know, depending on the version of the film, and there are many, many versions of it and alternate edits, you might be able to see it on the likes of like YouTube without commercial interruption. And while I recommend everybody watch the original 153-minute version if you can, any version of the movie is better than not having seen it at all. And let's talk about that 153-minute version of the film. Because man, did people fucking bellyache over that shit. We live in a time and age where a fucking Spider-Man movie is that length, but for 1927, when movies didn't even yet have spoken dialogue, and many film scores were just the same theme played over and over again, or very, very simple themes played over and over again, 153 minutes was long. But does the film warrant that length? I say yes. It's an important piece of cinema, and I think it was as important then as it is today. But back then, critics called it overlong, they said the themes were too simplistic and unrealistic, and the film was accused of being quote-unquote unconvincing. But holy shit, y'all, I mean, come the fuck on. This is a movie that attempted some pretty deep and challenging ideas without the ability to produce fucking smoke and dialogue, and with a very limited amount of music. I say it needed that runtime just to get across its complex and in-depth story because all the limitations it faced in telling that story. But the one thing that nearly everybody agreed upon at the time was that the film was a true technological achievement in filmmaking. And, you know, most incredibly influential films are rarely well-received when they're first released. Many critics had nothing but negative things to say about fucking Citizen Kane when it was first released, saying the film wasn't of any real significance and it was just a bunch of lavish, overthought filmmaking. But those motherfuckers are probably just scared of William Randolph Hearst. But that, dear friends, is a story for another day and another podcast. You need to watch Metropolis, and doing so just got a whole lot easier. If it's not already available on one of your favorite streaming platforms, you're going to be able to find it without much digging pretty damn soon. And it's all thanks to the fact that in at least one instance, American lawmakers got it right and kept individuals and corporations from being able to hoard properties away forever. And actually, I want to talk more about that. But, yeah, there he is. Goldblum, the Space Castle's onboard AI, is telling me that if I don't check in on some messages from Earth, he's going to edit down my runtime to a more palatable length for himself, if you know what I mean. So let's hear from some other excellent indie podcasts, and I will be right back.
Across the multiverse, there's a cluster of wild stars known as Omega Star 7. Filled with bounty hunters, bandits, and the fine dining mega corporation Ahuli's House of Good Eats. A place with starships, dive bars, and guns. Really, really big guns. When you're here, you're family. If you owed your family a lot of money. Welcome to Omega Star 7.
Okay, Slip, I mean, that was okay, but like, what is Omega Star 7?
What? It's a podcast.
Okay, yeah, we gotta add a little pizzazz to it, like, It's a podcast.
Omega Star 7 is streaming on your favorite podcatchers now.
No. Like, Omega Star 7 is streaming on your favorite podcatchers now.
Find out more at OmegaStar7.com.
Okay, I just don't know who's going to want to listen to that.
Hey, everybody. I'm Dane Holland.
It's a new STD, a sonic transmitted disease.
I'm Austin Shazam Pfeiffer.
So it would be just a smushed mashed potato situation going on in my young adolescent crotch area.
I'm Marcus Whitaker, known as I'm Electric Man.
So instead of talking about how CERN is trying to open up a portal to hell and end the entire universe, I guess I'm just going to read jokes off the freaking internet.
And I'm Austin Tiny Zim. Dr. Strange, he's circumcised because would you want an uncircumcised wizard? I don't think so.
And if you'd like any of that to make any sense whatsoever, tune in to Nerd It Through the Grapevine, a podcast where four best friends gather weekly to talk about our favorite parts of past, present, and future nerd culture every Monday on Spotify, iTunes, and whatever your favorite app for podcast is. Come join us in the Grapevine.
So I was recently talking with Super Laser Seth, who you'll know from the YouTube channel, and that's youtube.com/@SpaceCastlePod if you'd like to check it out. I recommend it. I think it's awesome. About what properties we would most like to see become public domain. And his first thought was one that I actually wholly agree with, the James Bond series. Now, don't get me wrong, I actually really like Casino Royale and Skyfall, but I'm actually starting to think that James Bond as a long-form storytelling character is maybe a bit of a misstep. I think we need to go back to the days of one-off James Bond movies instead of semi-planned-out five-movie franchises. I think the character starts to get a little bit stale. I think writers, despite their best efforts, start to run out of compelling ideas for versions of the character that have overstayed the welcome and have become a little bit too long in the tooth. And I think the Bond franchise landing in public domain could actually be fucking amazing. We'd get all sorts of stories from myriad writers and filmmakers, none of them carrying the burden of having to be thought of as anything more than just a one-off movie. And we can end up with tons of James Bond movies that you can personally cherry-pick based on your own tastes, and just discard all the others without fear of missing out on some major plot point or some bit of canon. Actually, now that I think about that, that sounds pretty fucking amazing for Star Wars, too. Imagine a world where any filmmaker out there with proper funding can make up their own stories in the Star Wars universe without worry of having to play within the restrictions of Disney or Dave Filoni's dipshit notions of what Star Wars canon has to be. We might actually end up with more Andors and Mandalorians and fewer books of Boba Fett and Rises of Skywalker. We'd have tons more movies, TV shows, and video games that aren't shackled to the Skywalker family or anything like that. But honestly, for me personally, what I would like to see most is DC Comics characters be free from Warner Brothers. I know that's blasphemy for some of you, but I am pretty damn infamous for hating the Snyderverse and thinking that people generally kind of love it because they don't have anything else to compare it to. No offense. But imagine a world where the Snyderverse had to compete with countless talented writers and filmmakers who could adapt classic Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman stories, or create their own, and not be beholden to some shared universe bullshit, or nonsense from Warner Brothers executives who clearly have no idea what the fuck they're doing. I am really, really hoping that James Gunn turns things around, and we end up with some truly great DC movies in the near future. But man, if DC was public domain, we might have already had our pick of fantastic media featuring all those fucking awesome characters, and we wouldn't have to feel the obligation of slogging through some of the shittier movies in a shared universe to get to those movies. That's the world I one day want to live in. And on that optimistic note, I hope your new year is off to a great start. Whether you're chasing down a resolution or two, you're making efforts to do things a little bit differently and change your mindset, or you're just vibing and having a good time already, I hope 2023 has great things in store for all of us. I think year three of Space Castle is off to a fantastic start. I got to do a dream interview with my good friend Dr. James Paterini from NASA to kick things off, and the recent episodes of Real Drunk on the Space Castle YouTube are getting great response too. It's just awesome. As always, I want to thank you all for listening and watching each time Space Castle releases something new. and for all the kind words and enthusiasm you guys have sent my way. I want you all to know that it goes both ways too. I'm so jazzed that people are having fun with all the silly shit that me and my friends are doing each week. If you're new to Space Castle this year, please make yourself at home and check out spacecastlepod.com. You'll find links to each of the podcast episodes as they come out, as well as notifications for YouTube videos. We've also got merch on there, if that's your thing, and a link to our Discord, for which there's always a link in the show notes as well. We're always having a great time over there at the Discord, chatting it up, and we'd love to have you. And in closing, I just want to say thanks so much for listening to Space Castle. It's your clubhouse for all things nerdy. My name is DT, reminding you to take care of each other and be good.